There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that. This is the Authors and Agents Podcast. Amy, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super excited to chat with you and to learn more about you and hear about what you're looking for your list. So let's start off first by having you tell me a little bit about what drew you to publishing and being a literary agent.
Great. Well, thank you first for having me. I appreciate you taking the time to ask me about what I do. So I became an agent after being an editor for over 10 years. And I had been at Simon & Schuster for the bulk of that time. Before that, I was briefly at Harlequin. And it's not that uncommon for agents to become editors. And I think for a while in the back of my mind, I meant for editors to become agents.
I figured that's what you meant though. No worries.
Yes. For editors to become agents. And so I think in the back of my mind, I thought it was something that was appealing to me. But agents more often than not work on commissions. So I wanted to wait until I was a point in my career and my life where I felt comfortable making that shift in terms of feeling like, okay, I can make that change in my career and feel like I can handle that risk, number one. And number two, felt like, okay, I have enough of like a foothold in the industry that I feel like there's a good shot of me succeeding at this. And so I was at a point in my editorial career where I was specializing. It was like 50 Shades of Grey had recently come out and shot to the top of the bestseller list. And then what followed was a lot of other self-published books hitting the bestseller list, which was like the first time in history that was ever happening. And a lot of those self-published authors didn't have agents. And so frequently when I would approach them for a book deal, they would say, before I sign this contract, should I get an agent? And I would always say yes. And then their next question would be, well, can you recommend somebody? So I thought, this is probably a good time. If I'm going to make the switch, now would be a good opportunity. So that was the moment that I switched over to becoming an agent. And why I was attracted to becoming an agent, always when I was on the editorial side of the business, my favorite part of my day, I would always say, was when I was on the phone with my authors. I just loved that relationship. I loved getting close with my authors. And I knew that as an agent, I would even have even stronger relationships with authors. And I would still get to do the thing that I loved most as an editor, which was edit, and not have to do things I didn't love so much, which was, it's a lot of, you work in a big corporation, so there's a lot of red tape and, forms to fill out and administrative stuff that you don't have to deal with as much as an agent, particularly an agent is part of an agency and the agency supports you with that stuff.
Well, that's, such a great journey you've been through. And I'm sure your clients now are so grateful that you have the experience from being an editor for 10 years, right? Like it's nice to have an editorial agent. So you're able to help your clients through that process.
Yes, definitely. I frequently think about how fortunate I was to have that experience because a lot of my job now is figuring out the best way to get things for my authors. And a lot of that is timing and approach and, knowing firsthand what it's like to be on the other side definitely helps with all of that strategy.
Definitely. Yeah. You're able to be like, okay, well, you can see from the editor's perspective and probably, work your author through it or just be able to navigate it better. That is, wonderful. And I'm glad you had such a great opportunity to jump ship, as they say, and to join the literary. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been a great shift. So it was definitely the right decision.
Oh, good, good. Well, to jump into some questions about querying, because we know that there are always questions about that, right? Because it's such a
right.
harrowing process. So I'd love to know mm-hmm. what some of the best queries that you've seen, you've read, have in common.
Well, they all have the essential key elements, which is what is the book about and who are you? So short bio, short summary. And then, you know, if you go to my page on the agency website, you'll see I also ask for a synopsis and three sample chapters. But then beyond that, of course, the question is, well, what sets a good query apart from the others? And, you know, it's hard to really distill it down, but I would say it's the same sort of thing that attracts you to a book, which is that it feels unputdownable and you want to read more.
Right.
So, you know, it's also, it's that. And then also, do I immediately start thinking of places where I think I could sell this and editors who would love it?
Yeah. Which, you know, on the writer side, that's like, mm-hmm. That's hard feedback or, you know, like to know, okay, you know, okay. So it's just, we always hear, you know, it's like a business decision or
mm-hmm.
like Carly Waters just had a great post about why an agent is saying no. And one of them was exactly what you're saying. Like they don't feel like they're going to be able to sell it, mm-hmm. which is always hard when you are making that transition from like, oh, this is my story, but now I want it to be published. I think sometimes writers have a hard time switching into like that business mindset because that's truly what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like
right.
the book of your heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
That is tough, but you know, it's not really in anyone's interest, of course, for an agent to take on a project that they don't really feel confident they could sell.
Definitely.
So, and just because a agent doesn't feel like they could sell it certainly doesn't mean that no other agent will feel like they could sell it. It's a very subjective business, and it's also a business of relationships. So my assessment of how sellable it is also depends on which editors I know really well and definitely. What I know they're looking for in that moment. You know, another agent might be close to a different sector of editors who they think would be interested in that type of thing.
So I think that is just a good reminder of doing your research on what mm-hmm. agents, you know, what their list currently is and what they're looking for
yes.
to make sure you're not wasting mm-hmm. more time or the agent's time querying them with something that really just isn't quite right. And you could have known that if you had put in a little extra research.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a very impatient person, Amy, and I always hate doing that. You know, like, I'll do the research because I'm like, oh, but that makes it take so much longer. But it is definitely worthwhile in that case.
Yeah. And with so many resources online, I mean, it doesn't require that no. much time to look up. Like, you know, one thing that I always recommend is to look at books that you think are similar to yours or books that you think cater to the same audience and read the acknowledgments and see yeah. who their agent is. And that's a really easy way to figure out what agents would be interested in your book.
Oh, I think that's a great thing to do. Yeah, the acknowledgments, they have some good gems in there.
Yes.
Well, my next question for you is, what is your number one query no-no?
Well, I mean, maybe this is petty of me, but an immediate delete for me is, I mean, if they don't even take the trouble to address the query letter to me, and they, you know, it's addressed to whom it may concern, or they just immediately launch into describing their book. To me, that's a signal that, you know, they haven't taken the time to even type my name. So really, they in all likelihood have not taken the time to do any research about whether or not I'd be a good fit. And so that's like a big one for me. Just, you know, write my name. It's three letters. Dear Amy, that's all you need.
I was just going to say, even if they yes. do, hi, Amy, that's five yes. letters in one space. Like, that exactly. will take you a millisecond, right? And right. so I can totally see from your perspective, it might just feel like they're just, like, copy and pasting. Like, oh, let me
yes.
see how many agents I can email right away.
Right. And do I want to work with, I mean, you know, I personally don't feel like I want to work with someone who doesn't like really want to work with me. And if you can't even like take the time to write my name, and I can't tell you, I get queries every day that are not addressed to anyone. So that might sound like, of course I would do that, but there are a lot of people who aren't doing that. So for me, that's like probably my number one pet peeve about queries.
I can see that. I mean, I always say it feels, and it is like the start of a business relationship, sort of like mm-hmm. a job application for both sides, right? Because both sides
right.
to be working together. But yeah, if you're not putting your best foot forward, that definitely doesn't give this person who you want to be your agent, you know, they want to make sure you're going to mm-hmm. be willing to work with them and be professional and all that. So yeah, definitely
right.
address the email correctly.
Yes. Another thing that may also seem obvious, but I also tend to see a lot of people start their letters with sort of like a lot of backstory or like explanation for, you know, I hesitated to send this, but I decided to just bite the bullet because it's, you know, it's a story of my heart. And, you know, they go into a whole thing that's unrelated to what the book is about. And, you know, that may all be true, but really, as an agent, you know, we're getting so many queries. So your best bet is just immediately dive into the heart of what you're trying to pitch. And not, you know, go off on tangents. So just like keep it focused. Like you said, it's a business relationship. You want to put your best foot forward. It's like a job interview. So just like pitch your product as strongly and as focused as you can.
Yeah, I think that's a good reminder. And don't be, and I think too, sending those sorts of intros of like, oh, I didn't really know if I wanted to query this or like felt like it was good.
Right.
Like, that can come off like very self-deprecating too. Like be confident.
Yes, exactly.
Be confident in what you're sending.
Believe in your product. Exactly. Because if you don't believe in it, why should I believe in it? Right.
Exactly. Yeah. That doesn't come off very confident.
Yes.
So we talked about query no-nos. So what about the first pages? What's something in the first pages that will make you stop reading?
The quality of the writing is probably number one. And, you know, if there's a typo here or there, that's not what I mean. I mean, just like the voice. Does it flow smoothly? Is it compelling? And I know that could probably be a frustrating response to a lot of authors because that's not like a concrete answer. It's very subjective, but the reality is the reading experience is very subjective. And, you know, you sort of like, just as any reader would when you pick up a book and you're pulled into it, that's, you know, how an agent is judging material. Are they immediately drawn into the material?
Yeah. I think that's a great reminder too. I mean, look at any book and look at the reviews and you will see conflicting
yes.
reviews every other one.
Exactly.
Someone loved
exactly.
the pacing and another person hated how slow it was, right? Like,
yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Very subjective. That's a great reminder.
Yeah.
So what would your like top tip or golden rule be for authors who are in the querying process right now?
I mean, the number one thing is to target agents who represent the kind of project that you're trying to sell. So do your research. I mean, you definitely earn bonus points if in your query letter you reference a project that you know that agent has represented, you know, dear so-and-so, I'm a big fan of blah, blah, blah by blah, 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 whom I know you represent, and I think my book would appeal to a similar audience. That there are so few authors who do that, but it is really meaningful because it tells me that you've done your research, you've written something that's sort of similar to something you know I love, and so that immediately helps to set you apart.
Wow, I think that's a good one, and you know, surprise, like I feel like you would see that a lot, so it's surprising that not the majority of authors doing that. So that's definitely
yeah,
a good reminder.
It's rare, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So you require a synopsis when someone queries you. So for you, how mm-hmm. important is voice in a synopsis? Like, are you just looking for like cut and dry, boom, 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 this is what happens? Or what are you looking for there?
So there are two descriptions in the queries, right? So there's like the initial brief description in the email, like the letter portion, and then the synopsis, which is longer. And the synopsis, which is longer, like that can pretty much just be beat by beat, you know, keeping it interesting and you know, don't get too long-winded. but it is pretty much beat by beat. And I would say keep it like to just a few paragraphs. Like you don't need to go into that much detail. The description in the letter, though, I think should be very selling and it should read like cover copy.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, it's like the agent needs to get past that to then dive into the synopsis and the sample material. So you want to be as selling as possible in that initial letter portion of the query.
Definitely. Yes. You don't want that to be dry and beat by beat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do you recommend or think it's necessary for writers to hire a proofreader or someone to edit their work before querying? Or what do you recommend?
I don't think you need to hire anybody. I think, you know, you can do the research on your own in terms of what should be in a query letter. I know there are so many resources online where you can find that and you don't have to put any sort of financial investment into hiring somebody. But I would say ask a trusted friend just to proofread it before you send it out. I mean, I have so many typos, I know, in my own emails. And sometimes, you know, especially if you're like rereading and editing over and over again, you're just so close to the material you can't see it clearly. So it's always good to get another pair of eyes on it.
Definitely good to get another pair of eyes on it. I like to say, give your query letter to someone who knows nothing about your book too, like a trusted friend who maybe you haven't been telling about your book the whole time you've been writing it, and see if they like, and then ask them what they think your book is about too, because then
that's a great idea.
Okay, is my query letter really coming across the way I want it to or not?
yes, definitely.
Well, thank you for sharing those wonderful tips about querying, and, you know, helping the listeners get to know what you're looking for a little bit more. I'd love to know, what is a big misconception people have about what you do as a literary agent?
You know, I was thinking about this question because I don't know that there is necessarily a misconception. I think it's more either you know what a literary agent does or you have no idea what a literary agent does.
Yes.
And you've never even heard of such a job.
Yeah.
and so it's my job to just like explain from like square one, like what I even do. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't really run into people having misconceptions.
Yeah, I think that that is a good description of it. People either understand the publishing process and know that the literary agent job exists, or they just think people get published mystically and it happens.
Right. Yes.
Yes, I hear you on that. So what is the hardest part of being a literary agent?
There's so many great parts. So I have a hard time answering this question because I really, truly love this job. I will say, I think the hardest part is when things don't work out for my author the way that I and my author would want them to.
Yeah.
So whether it's, you know, unfortunately not finding a publisher for a project, or, you know, if it's a debut, not finding a publishing house to begin with, or if down the line, you know, their sales are struggling and it's difficult to get a fourth or a fifth contract down the road, or perhaps, you know, the sort of thing they're writing may have sold 10 years ago, but, you know, trends come and go, and for whatever reason, what they're writing right now isn't resonating with publishers. So I would say that's the most difficult thing. Because, you know, like I said, I so value that author relationship and I very much feel on this journey with them. And so when it doesn't work out for them, like, you know, I really feel it too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're so invested and, in love with the stories and all of that just as much as they are.
So exactly.
To have to be that like bearer of the bad news too, I'm sure is. Well, you say there's so many things you love about your job. So tell me, what is your favorite thing about being an agent?
My favorite thing. I mean, I this is sort of a non-answer, but I love the whole process. I love finding a new project. I love working with the author to make the project stronger. I love finding a publishing house. I love the publishing process and then having that book come out and then reading positive customer reviews and all of that. I think it's just
everything about perfect. I love it.
I know it sounds kind of ridiculous. And like, I'm just really looking at things through rose colored glasses, but I feel so lucky to have this job. And to work with the authors that I work with. And they're all such great people to work with. I mean, both like professionally talented, but just like really good people. So I love my list. And yeah, it's been a great career. So
I'm glad to hear it. You know, it is such an important role in traditional publishing. So I'm glad that you're, you know, doing it with such love and excitement. So I'd love to know your perspective on, you know, when you've gotten a query, you've read the pages, you read the full, you're excited, you want to talk to this author, you're on the call, you know,
yes.
I'm sure you have your list of questions that you're going to ask the author to try to get to know them better. But what questions do you think is really important for the author to ask you?
So I think that, you know, basically you want to make sure that the agent's going to be a good match for you. So yes, you desperately most likely want representation. You know, a lot of authors have been at it for a while. And then once they get to that point, they're really happy to have an agent interested. But it's so important that you don't enter into a partnership with someone who you don't feel is aligned with how you want your career to go. So, you know, you should ask as many questions as you want. That's number one. Don't ever feel like you're asking too many questions. And, you know, I think question number one should be, you know, if we work together, what will the rest of this process look like? So like, what are the next steps? Are we going to edit? How many rounds do you expect to edit? What sort of, you know, presumably the agent has read your material. And so you could ask, what editorial comments do you have for me? How does your agency work? You know, if you aren't able to sell this project, will I be free to go seek other representation? How does your agency handle translation rights? Do they handle film and TV rights? You know, once you do find a publishing home, what's your role in the publication process? So there are some agents who will pretty much just focus on negotiating the contract, and then they aren't so involved after that point. I and the other agents here, you know, are very involved in the whole publication process. So just making sure that, you know, edits happen when they're supposed to happen, that payments happen when they're supposed to happen, that the marketing and publicity plans look the way they should, that, you know, things, you know, happen beat by beat when they should happen and how they should happen. And then, you know, working with the author on securing the next deal and the next deal after that. That's another good question. Like, do you expect this relationship to just be for this book? Or do you think that this is, are you thinking of this more long term, that you would be with me for hopefully the course of my career for years and years and years? And a lot of it also is personality. So it's not even just asking the questions, but, you know, just feeling comfortable talking to that person. You know, it is a little bit like dating. Like, you want to feel that, you know, at some point, there is ever an issue with one of your books, that you're going to feel comfortable going to your agent and asking for their help and feeling confident that they're going to help you in the way that you would want to be helped. You know, now with Zoom, I would say have a video call as opposed to an old fashioned phone call, because I do think you can pick up on a lot more by seeing the person. If you're anywhere near them or even willing to travel, I would say best case scenario, you meet them in person. Yeah, and I think that's it. And I also would say, don't ever feel pressured to quickly sign up with somebody. You know, if somebody offers you representation, it is very normal to say, thank you so much. You know, I do have this project out with a few other people or a number of other people. Would it be okay for me to give them a couple of weeks to come back to me? Right. And I mean, every agent should say yes. And if they don't, that should be a red flag.
Definitely. Yeah. Because why are they trying to pressure you into that?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I feel like if you don't really want to work with me, then, you know, it's not in my best interest to force somebody to work with me. So right. I always want people to feel very enthusiastic about working with me if they do decide to be my author.
I think that is a, you know, that's a great, like, a place to start and a good list of questions to start. Because I think, too, the achievement of signing with a literary agent can feel like the end all be all, right? Like, oh my gosh, if I can just get it, then everything is done, even though we both know there's so much more past that point, right?
Right.
You feel like the first hurdle, like the first big thing you need to do. And I just want authors to know, like, it is just as much about you interviewing the agent as it is about the agent interviewing you. Like, take control.
Definitely.
And make sure you're not just like you said, signing with someone just to sign with someone.
Yes, definitely.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for letting me pick your brain. I just have one last question for you left. I'd love for you to share with me and with the listeners what you are most excited about representing next. What are you really hoping to see in your query inbox?
I'm really, you know, it's a lot of stuff that's similar to what I already represent, because I love what I currently represent. So I'm not looking to, like, sharply shift gears. But, you know, I love psychological suspense, domestic suspense, women's fiction, book club fiction. I know a lot of these categories are sort of, like, not very easy to nail down, but some run into others. But stories that are feel good. You know, my author, Meg Schaefer, she released The Wishing Game this year. And I feel like it was just, like, the perfect escapist feel good read that so many readers are looking for to escape the heaviness of the world. And publishers are also looking for that. So I would love more books like that. And it had sort of, like, a magical quality to it, although it wasn't magical. There was no, like, fantasy or speculative component to it, but I love books that also have, like, a grounded speculative or magical realism piece to it.
I love it. Well, I hope you get lots of those in your query inbox. Or is your query inbox currently open? No, it's not. Are you?
It is.
Okay. Are you planning to close it anytime soon, or are you?
No.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I just like to you know, sometimes it can be, you're refreshing every day, like, oh, is this agent open or not? We're excited about querying somebody, so I want people to know.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely open. And if anyone listening to this decides to query me as a result of hearing this, please do mention that you heard this interview. Yes. I'd love to know.
Yes, I have had that happen before, and it makes me so excited when you will be like, oh, I got these queries from people who listen to the podcast. Brings me joy. Well, Amy, thank you so much for chatting with me and letting me pick your brain. And everyone, please, please send Amy some feel-good stories, because we all do need more of those in our lives.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much.